TED Audio Collective. You're listening to TED Health. I'm your host, Dr. Shoshana Ungerleiter. I've worked in busy ERs, and I can tell you, they are chaotic. And I've often wondered, how do ER doctors stay so cool in high-pressure situations? In her 2019 TEDx Naperville talk, emergency room physician Daria Long takes what she learned from managing life and death problems in the ER to a strategy anyone can use to go from feeling overwhelmed with a million daily tasks to feeling prepared, calm, and collected. By prioritizing and designing for the process, she believes we can all learn to be ready for the many demands life throws at us.
Support for this podcast comes from The Wonderful Company. If that name doesn't sound familiar to you, you probably know the pistachios that come from this company. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. I love the various Wonderful Pistachio flavors. So in addition to the original flavor, I'm particularly fond of the salt and vinegar, and I keep little packets of them in my car so that I can eat and get some protein on the run. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
Hey everyone, it's Adam Grant. I host a podcast called Rethinking about the science of what makes us tick. This season, we're talking about navigating young adulthood with clinical psychologist Meg Jay.
If I had to pick one word that I hear from 20-somethings more than any other word in terms of where the struggles come from, it's uncertainty. And so I think just the uncertainty involved in how do you make those big life decisions? How do you take control of your life?
Find and follow Rethinking with Adam Grant wherever you're listening.
Raise your hand and be honest if you've used the phrase crazy busy to describe your day, your week, your month. I'm an emergency room doctor, and crazy busy is a phrase you will never hear me use. And after today, I hope you'll stop using it too. Here's why you cannot afford to use crazy to describe your busy. Because when we are in what I refer to as crazy busy mode, we are simply less capable of handling the busy. Here's what happens. Your stress hormones rise and stay there. Your executive function in the prefrontal cortex declines. That means your memory, your judgment, your impulse control deteriorate, and the brain areas for anger and anxiety are activated. Do you feel that? Here's the thing. You can be as busy as an emergency department without feeling like you're crazy busy. How? By using the same tactics that we use. Our brains all process stress in similar fundamental ways, but how we react to it has been shown by research to be modifiable, whether it's emergencies or just daily, day in, day out stress. Now contrast crazy busy mode with how I think of us in the ER, ready mode. Ready mode means whatever comes in through those doors, whether it's a multiple car pileup or a patient having chest pain while stuck in an elevator or another patient with an item stuck where it shouldn't be, when you know you're dying to ask. Yeah. Even on those days when you would swear you were being punked, we're not afraid of it. Because we know that whatever comes in through those ER double doors, that we can handle it, that we're ready. That's ready mode. We've trained for it, and you can too. Here's how. Step one to go from crazy mode to ready mode is to relentlessly triage. In crazy mode, you're always busy, always stressed, because you're reacting to every challenge with the same response. Contrast that with ready mode, where we triage, which means we prioritize by degree of urgency. This isn't just a nice way to get your to-do list done. Work by Dr. Robert Sapolsky shows that individuals who cannot differentiate threat from non-threat and react to everything with the same response have double the level of stress hormones. which is why this is the first skill to learn. We triage. Red, immediately life-threatening. Yellow, serious but not immediately life-threatening. Green, minor. And we focus our efforts first on the reds. Now hear this. Part of the problem in crazy mode is that you are reacting to everything as if it is red. So start by triaging correctly. Know your reds. They're what is most important and where you can most move the needle. Now, it's easy to be confused by noise, but what is noisiest is not always what is most red. In fact, my severe asthmatic patient is most at risk when he's quiet. But my patient over here demanding that I bring her flavored coffee creamer, she's noisy, but she's not red. I'll give you an example from my own life. Last spring, my house flooded. My one-year-old was in the ER. I was supposed to do a fundraiser for my four-year-old's school, and the final chapter of my book was beyond late. Maybe not ironically, that was the chapter on stress. My red tasks were getting my one-year-old better and finishing my book. That was it. Remember, relentlessly triage. The house flood repair? Well, once we had stopped and stabilized the damage, it was no longer a red. It felt red, but it was in fact just noise. Know your reds and do not let your non-reds distract you from them. By the way, it is liberating with a green task to every once in a while be able to remind yourself, that's a green task. No one's gonna die. It's okay if it's not perfect. Now there's one last triage level that we use in the worst scenarios, and that is black. Those patients for whom there's nothing we can do, where we must move on. And although it is gut-wrenching, I mention it because you each have your own equivalent black tasks in your life. These are items that you must take off your list. And I think many of you know what I'm talking about. For me, this was the fundraiser. I had to step down. Because as we in the ER know, if you try to do everything, you have no hope of saving your reds. Step two to go from crazy mode and to ready mode is to expect and design for crazy. Half of handling crazy is how you prepare for it. So step one, we triage. Step two, we design to make those tasks easier to do. Science shows us that the more options we have, then the longer each decision takes. And the more decisions we have to make, then the more exhausted our brain gets, and the less it is capable of making good decisions. Which is why this step two is about finding ways to reduce your daily decisions. Here are four easy examples you can use in your daily lifestyle. Plan. Plan your entire week's meals on the weekend so that when it's Wednesday at 6 p.m. and everyone's hangry and requesting pizza, you have no decisions to make to get a healthy meal on the table. Automate. Never leave anything to remember that you could automate, whether it's scheduling it as recurring or saved list or recurrent purchases. Co-locate. When it comes to exercise, store all the equipment that you need for a certain activity together, charged and ready so you don't spend energy looking for it. And decrease temptations for anyone driven by sugar cravings. Anyone? Say aye, go ahead. That itself is its own form of crazy mode and self-medication for crazy mode, but stop working your willpower. Design differently. If a food is out of immediate reach, such that you have to use a stool to reach it, even when it's chocolate, study participants ate 70% less without thinking about it. I know, let that sit for a second. Design to make the choices you wish to make easier. Which brings us to the third step to go from crazy mode to ready mode, and that is to get out of your head. Come with me, different story. I'm working in a small satellite ER when a woman comes in labor. I realize that the cord is wrapped, not once, but twice around the baby's neck, and I'm the only doctor. I was scared, but I couldn't let it derail me. Because you see, we all get nervous, we all get scared, but it's what you do next that matters. That first feeling isn't the problem. It can be an important sign. The problem comes when we let it derail us, when that internal monologue starts and we catastrophize and we start to get that tunnel vision. That's how you think when you're in crazy mode and you cannot solve anything that way. How do I get out of my own head? There are many tactics that you may hear, but for me, I find it best in the moment to actively put my focus on someone else, to deliberately make myself see the person in front of me, see myself in the arena with them. What do they need? What do they fear? And how can I help? This may sound like a whole lot of warm and fuzzy to you, but it's not. In fact, research shows that when you prime your brain with what is essentially compassion, we disrupt that tunnel vision and internal monologue. You widen your perception so your brain can actually take in broader information so you see more possibilities and can make better decisions. Try it. Know that your internal monologue can derail you. And realize that when you get out of your own head, you get out of your own way. Own the busy, but stop calling it crazy. You've always had that ability, but now you're ready. Thank you.